Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. Greg Mazak, Chairman of the Division of Psychology at BJU. The title of his message is The Omniscience of God. The text is from Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, and chapter 5, verse 21.
Welcome to summer school, and I hope that you're off to a good start. It's my privilege to have the opportunity to open summer school this year, and the trust that we'll all be encouraged as we remind ourselves of what a wonderful God we have and what a delight it is to serve Him. How many of you are following with any degree of interest the NBA playoffs? Anybody? Wow, not too many. Okay. How many of you know that the NBA is in the playoffs? They're having playoffs right now. Okay, this is not going well. How many of you have ever seen a basketball? Okay, there you go. Now at least we can relate a little bit. Okay. I'm not a big NBA fan. I've been following the Eastern Conference playoffs a little bit just because Cleveland's in it and I'm from the Cleveland area. And of course, most of you are familiar with LeBron and the phenomenon that he is. I haven't really been following closely the Western Conference at all. But as of Saturday, Denver went up in the semifinals of the Western Conference 3-0. And it maybe shouldn't be that way, because there was quite a controversial ending Saturday night in the Dallas-Denver game. I didn't watch it. I read about it. You say, what happened? Dallas, the Mavericks, had a 2-point lead with less than 8 seconds left. Denver inbounded the ball. And as you would expect, what happened next is Dallas sought to intentionally foul one of the Denver players, which is what you're supposed to do. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. So you say, what took place? There was a clear intentional foul by a Dallas player on a Denver player, but the ref didn't see it. So there was a second clear intentional foul by a Dallas player against a Denver player. And again, the ref didn't see it. And the person who was twice intentionally fouled, Carmelo Anthony, stepped right behind the three-point line, hit a three-point shot, and what happened? Denver won. And something that's kind of interesting, the miss was so flagrant, the fact that the refs missed the call twice, that the NBA has now officially admitted that the referees were wrong. They made a mistake, and the mistake may have cost Dallas the game. No doubt it did cost Dallas the game. You say, what happens? The ref just didn't see it. He didn't know what was happening. Now, you may be thinking, well, that's a basketball game. Is it really that important? Well, maybe not. But, you know, sometimes not seeing something, not knowing something, can actually cost somebody his or her life. I'm thinking back to August of 2007, when in Huntington, Utah, there were 6 miners that were trapped after a tragic cave-in. And no one knew where these 6 miners were. So if you don't know where they are, you can't determine if they're still living or not. A number of shafts were drilled down to try to contact these 6 people, but they still couldn't find them. Finally, not knowing what to do, they sent in a rescue crew. At least 9 people began to tunnel to where they thought the initial miners would have been. And what happened, there was yet a second tragic cave-in. And 3 of the rescuers, so-called rescuers, died in the second cave-in. 6 more were severely injured. You say, why? Why this loss of life? Not only the initial 6 miners, but the additional 3 that were seeking to rescue. You know why? Because they just couldn't see down into the ground. People didn't know where those miners were and if they were alive or not. Now, whether it's something moderate like a basketball game or something big like miners losing their lives or something very small like me being just a little bit later to chapel than I typically would be because I went outside and saw that it was raining and then went back to my office to get an umbrella. See, I couldn't see through the walls of the alumni building. I didn't know it was raining. My point being this morning, oftentimes, guys, we simply lack knowledge. And we lack knowledge because there are many things that we can't see. We are limited and we are finite. But God is not. God is unlimited and God is infinite. You say, what do you mean? When we talk about time, we refer to God in relationship to eternity. When we talk about space, we refer to the attribute of God that we call omnipresence. When we talk about power, we talk about omnipotence. But this morning we're discussing knowledge, and that relates to God's omniscience. God is an omniscient God. He knows everything that takes place. He's not like us. Why are you guys in summer school? Well, the very fact that you're in school is because you are openly testifying that there are things you don't know. Isn't it interesting that God doesn't attend school? God never has to read directions to put things together. Now, you might say that reminds me of my dad. Okay, that's fine. But most of us, especially if we have something expensive, we read the directions. Maybe your moms read recipes. We get home and what do? We listen to mom or dad say, honey, how was your day? Why do they ask you? Because they don't know. We look up the meaning of words in dictionaries. Why? Because we're not certain that we know what that word means. We read road signs sometimes. This weekend, I was trying to get from a park up on Highway 11 to a friend's house. He recently moved. I didn't know how to get there. And I asked my wife, I said, put it in your GPS. Let's see if there's a shorter way than the way I would typically go. What was that a testimony to? The fact that I didn't know. Why do you Google things all the time? Because you don't know. Do you realize God never Googles anything? Because there's nothing that God doesn't know. When we think about the omniscience of God, there's different ways to try to wrap our minds around this concept. One way the scripture does it is with the phrase, the eyes of the Lord. When the Bible talks about the eyes of the Lord, what's it referring to? It's referring to God's omniscience. Question. Does God have eyes? You think God has eyes? Does he have a left eye and a right eye? You know, what color are God's eyes? You ever think about that? You say, no. That's good, because God doesn't have eyes. God doesn't have a body. You say, well, then what does this phrase, the eyes of the Lord, mean? It's a metaphor. It's an anthropomorphism, we would call it, in a systematic theology book that tells us something about our God. You say, well, how do you know God doesn't have eyes? John 4:24 says God is a spirit. You say, well, how do you know a spirit can't have eyes? Because Jesus said in Luke 24:39, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. God doesn't have eyes, but the Bible refers to the eyes of the Lord. You say, why? To help us understand what it means when we consider the omniscience of God. I'd like to look at simply two passages in Proverbs that help us understand the omniscience of God this morning. And the first one is in chapter 15, verse 3. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs 15, verse 3? I had the joy in recent years of preaching a series of topical messages through Proverbs, and just want to review part of one with you this morning as we consider the omniscience of God. Proverbs 15, verse 3, and we'll see this fact that our omniscient God knows all things. He knows everything, everywhere. You say, what do you mean? Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. There's that phrase, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God knows everything. God knows the past. God never has to take a history class, right? God never gets confused on the order of events in a certain war or whatever you're studying in a class. God knows the past. God knows the present. Right? Jesus said in Matthew 10:30 that even the hairs of the disciples' heads were numbered. God knows that. But God not only knows the past and the present, God knows the future. According to Mark 13:32, the Lord knows the exact moment that Jesus Christ will return. In fact, God not only knows the past, the present, and the future, God knows the possible that would happen if we did something that we don't do, so it never takes place. But God knows what would have happened if we did it. You say, where'd that come from? Well, there was a time, you may recall, when King Saul was pursuing David, wanting to kill him. David was hanging out in the city of Keilah. So David prayed to God. He said, Lord, if I stay in this city, will these people betray me and hand me over to Saul? And God said, yes, David, they will. And David said, I'm out of here. And he left. Because God knew even the possible, not only past, present, and future, but even the possible. Tozer puts it this way, because God knows all things perfectly, he never discovers anything. He's never surprised. He's never amazed. He never wonders about anything. God knows, Proverbs 15, verse 3, everything, because look at the text. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. You say, what's he watching? Look at the second half of verse 3. Beholding the evil and the good. There's not a single evil act that takes place that God doesn't watch, intimately know about. You know, you may read in your history books about, say, the persecution of the Jews under Hitler, maybe what took place at Auschwitz or other places that we marvel at because of man's inhumanity to man. And people sometimes struggle. Where was God when this was taking place? And the answer is always the same. He was there. And he was watching. In a crowd this size, no doubt there are people, some of you have had some very sad things happen to you. And I don't mean somebody laughing at you because you missed a free throw or struck out. I'm talking about maybe being sexually abused by someone you thought you could trust, being lied to by a pastor or a parent, a Christian school teacher, and you wonder, where in the world was God? You know what? He was there. And he saw it. He knew about it. Today, this very moment, he knows about it. And I hope it'll encourage you to be reminded that this God promises that he works all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If you know Christ, that's you. Now, you might say, well, how do I know I'm one of those people that love God? That's just code for being saved. There's not two classes of Christians. A group of people that are saved, they're the God lovers, and then a group of people that are saved that don't love God. And Romans 8:28 just applies to the people that are saved, but, you know, maybe like really, really spiritual people. They're the God lovers. No, there's only one class of Christians. To be saved is to be a lover of God. Romans 8:28 applies to you if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. No matter what has happened to you, the promise of Scripture is for you that God causes. It just doesn't happen. God causes all things to work together for good. You say, how can that be? Because God knows everything. The eyes of the Lord are in every place watching the evil. But not only the evil. Look at the end of the text, verse 3. Beholding the evil and the good. God knows every good act that you've ever engaged in. You know, the time that you prayed for someone and no one knows about it, God knows. The time that you were saving up money to get a new iPod or similar item that was exciting for you. And then you sat in that service and there was a missionary appeal. And you thought, Lord, I think you would be more glorified in this ministry having this $50 than in me having the latest gadget. And you put that in and you thought, I wonder if anybody knows. God knows. The time that you were going to study for a class and you saw your roommate was struggling and you took the time to say, are you okay? Can we talk? Can I pray with you? And maybe you didn't have a chance to study. And maybe you got a little bit of a lower grade on the quiz or even the test. And you thought, I wonder if anybody even knows that I put someone else before me. God knows.
Because the text says in verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God knows everything everywhere, which certainly means that God knows everything about me and you. You say, where do you get that from? Well, turn over to Proverbs chapter 5. I mentioned we were going to look at two texts this morning. Let's look at a second text that talks about the eyes of the Lord, helping us to wrap our minds around this concept of omniscience, a God who sees everything. Proverbs chapter 5. And look, please, at verse 21. It says in Proverbs 5:21, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. The word pondereth there is the idea he sees. So he thinks about it and he watches all of his goings. That's all of the different paths that you take through life. One translation puts it this way. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. God knows everything about us. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can think that God doesn't know. That certainly includes all of my sin. Now, you might be thinking, why do you bring up the idea of sin? Because that's the context of Proverbs chapter 5. What is Proverbs 5 about? Well, look at verse 20 and let's pick up just a little bit of context. In Proverbs 5, verse 20, the question is asked, why wilt thou, my son? Here is the wise dad giving biblical counsel to the son, trying to encourage him not to sin. Why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? If I could put it in modern terms, why would you commit adultery? You say, well, why would I commit adultery? You shouldn't, in light of verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Verse 22, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. Do you know that God knows every sin you've ever committed? What have you done in your life that you are absolutely ashamed of? That if somehow a friend, a roommate, a girlfriend or a boyfriend knew about, you would be totally devastated. A sin that is so disturbing to you that if I were to know it, and to publicly share with this audience what you have done, without hesitation, you'd be out of here. Do you realize that secret sin that you think no one else knows about? God knows. And even though he knew it, remember, he knows past, present, and future, he still sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you. And he gave you the eyes to see the truth of the gospel. He gave you new life in your heart to respond to the claims of Christ. He gave you the faith to believe in the message of the cross. And you put your faith in the Lord Jesus. And he knew the whole time that even after you proclaimed faith in Christ, you would frequently deny him, even as I deny him. God knew that. And yet he saved you anyway. What a loving God. What a merciful God. That he would know me, even my most grotesque sin, that grieves me to consider. And he would still send his only son to the cross that I could have eternal life. What a blessing to think about the omniscience of God. I'd like to close with just a couple of conclusions today. Number one, God's omniscience should cause us to praise him. Guys, think about the omniscience of God. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 147, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant and praise is becoming. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Every star has a name. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite." What should it mean that God sees everything? It means we should praise Him. God's omniscience should, number one, cause us to praise Him. That's the first conclusion. Second conclusion, God's omniscience gives us confidence in His character. You might be wondering, you know, why does God do what He does? And sometimes my answer would be, I don't know. But in Romans 11:33, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways." See, we don't understand why things happen. Why? Because we don't have eyes to see everything. We lack knowledge. Right? Like the little boy who's counting his money and the big boy comes up to him and says, "Hey, you have a little dime. I have a big nickel. You want to trade your little dime for my really big nickel?" And the little boy says, "Yeah, that'd be a good trade." And the little boy gives up his little dime for the big kid's big nickel. Why? Because he lacks knowledge. But see, God doesn't lack knowledge. So considering the omniscience of God gives us confidence in His character. But it does more than cause us to praise Him and give us confidence in character. Let's have a third and final conclusion this morning. The omniscience of God comforts us in trials. Do you remember when Sarai was jealous that Hagar, her servant, was pregnant? And to make it worse, the father of the child was her husband, Abram. So what happened? Sarai persecuted Hagar, and Hagar flees out into the wilderness, right? And what did she do? She cried out to God. And what did God do? God saw her in her time of affliction and heard her prayer. And it records in Genesis 16, "So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, 'You are a God of seeing.'" A God who really sees. "For she said, 'Truly here I have seen Him who looks after me.'" Genesis 16 and verse 13. I don't know if you're going through a trial this morning. Maybe something's up financially that's really been a challenge. Maybe academically. You didn't even plan to be in summer school and here you're here. Maybe a job situation hasn't worked out. Maybe it's a health problem with mom and dad. Maybe worse than that. Maybe it's a marriage problem with mom and dad. Maybe you've recently had to say goodbye to a loved one, or maybe anticipate that soon that'll be true. You say, "How in the world could this be happening?" The Bible says that God's eyes see everything. And because God knows, and because God cares, and because God loves you, as proven on the cross of Calvary, you can be certain that God will comfort you even in the midst of your trial. God's omniscience, it causes us to praise Him. I trust you'll praise Him today. It gives us confidence in His character. I trust you'll be confident in your God this day. And it comforts us in times of trials. I trust that if you're going through a trial, that you'll find comfort in God this day. Our omniscient God, whose eyes see all, watching everything, even the evil and the good. Father, we thank You that You're an omniscient God. We thank You that You know all, that You see all. Father, we praise You for being so incredible. We don't understand, Lord, how Your eyes can go to and fro throughout the whole world at the same time, seeing everything around us, even seeing within us. But we're so thankful that it's true. We praise You. We're thankful that we can have confidence in Your character. Lord, that there's nothing You miss, no mistake that You make. You know all things. And Lord, we pray for those in this room that are going through a trial perhaps this morning, that these truths would minister grace to their lives. Lord, help us to rejoice.
You've been listening to The Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Greg Mazak, Chairman of the Division of Psychology at BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.